Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of morning prayer. Lovely to have you all with us on Zoom and on the telephone and in the garden as well. We've got one or two people in the garden this morning. They've been there overnight, but okay. Anyway, lovely to have you. It's Trinity Sunday, one of the great festivals of the church's year. We're going to start our service of morning prayer in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Let your ways be known upon earth,
your saving power among the nations.
Bless the Lord, you heavens.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, all people on earth.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
O people of God, bless the Lord.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever.
Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart. Bless the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
And our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, our psalm this morning is Psalm 29. And the response, the refrain which we'll say together is, "The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace." And so we begin by saying the refrain together. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. Ascribe to the Lord, you powers of heaven. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. The voice of the Lord is mighty in operation. The voice of the Lord is a glorious voice. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. The voice of the Lord splits the flash of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. In his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned above the water flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore. The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. Open our ears, glorious Lord Christ, to hear the music of your voice above the chaos of this world. Open our eyes to see the vision of your glory, for you are our King, now and forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Amen.
Ascribe greatness to our God throne.
His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. Ascribe greatness to our God throne. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he. Ascribe greatness to our God, his work is perfect, and all his ways are just. Ascribe greatness to our God, his work is perfect, and all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he.
So we come to our gospel reading and begin with the acclamation. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father. Glory to the Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit. One God who was and is to come. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our gospel reading is taken from John chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I'd like to take a couple of minutes of your time to think about that, the reading from Isaiah this morning. Well suited to Trinity Sunday. But I've given you a couple of pictures in your order of service this morning. I hope you can see those. And there are similarities about them. They're both from the life of St. Francis. They're both by a painter called Giotto, and they're both in the Basilica of St. Francis at Assisi. And they were painted just before the year 1300. The one which sits on page six, just under the reading that Steph has read for you, is from early on in St. Francis' life, and he's in a crumbling church. It happens to be the Church of St. Damiano, just outside Assisi, which was in a bad state of repair when Francis was a young man. But it was a place he used often to go to pray. And one day while he was praying there, the crucifix, which you can see on the right-hand side of the painting, spoke to him. It's called the Miracle of the Crucifix. And Jesus spoke to Francis from the crucifix as he prayed and meditated there in the Church of St. Damian. And encouraged Francis to get up and go and rebuild God's church, which Francis at first took very literally, in that he raised money to repair the building, but later in life obviously realized that when Christ spoke to him of rebuilding his church, it wasn't just the bricks and mortar that he had in mind, but it was restoring and renewing the whole spirit of the Christian church in that day. And the other one, which you've got on page three, is a scene from much later in St. Francis' life, when again praying in a remote place, a retreat place that they used up in the mountains, St. Francis again had a vision of Christ coming to him and received in his hands, in his feet, a sort of semblance of the wounds that Christ had from his crucifixion, his wounds from the cross, which were replicated in Francis' own body. And the reason that I think that's a suitable picture for today is that in the reading from Isaiah, the prophet speaks of the seraphs who he saw. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And if you've got a decent sight of the picture, you'll see that that's exactly how Jesus is represented in this vision of Francis' stigmatization. Jesus is shown there with the wings, the six wings of the seraph. But what I wanted to say about it is that what Giotto shows us there are recognizable forms of everyday. So we're talking about the unfathomable mystery of the Trinity, but Giotto shows it to us in a recognizable form. So we've got Jesus as a man speaking both from the cross and as a winged seraph. We've got Francis as a man and recognizably himself. We have to bear in mind that Francis had died less than 100 years before the picture was painted, about 75 years before the picture was painted. So there were people around who'd known him. And he's recognizably the man, Francis, receiving the message. And he receives the message with human emotion. And he responds as the man he is known to have been. The physical setting of both pictures is recognizably central Italy, the place which is Francis' home. The buildings are recognizably buildings of that period and that area. And we've even got one of Francis' companions sitting there quietly reading his own prayer book. That's Brother Leo, one of Francis' early companions. So it's a recognizable place with recognizable people. And I think what Giotto is saying to us in his paintings is that, in other words, the unfathomable divine mystery of the Trinity is played out amongst people like us in the setting of real life. And the gift of the incarnation is that God has become man and knows us from without and from within. And we can, and I think actually we must, recognize the divine in our daily life and respond as the human beings we are, just as Francis is shown as responding as the young man and then the slightly older man that he was. Not waiting. It's not our task to wait to be made other than we are. It's certainly not our task to prevaricate until we're satisfied that we have fully fathomed the unfathomable mystery of the Trinity. God's call to us, as it was to Francis, is now. And our response must also be now. God sends us to build the house, just as Francis was called to renew, to rebuild God's house. God sends us to build his house with the materials he has given us. Our response to God's call is not to be, well, okay, but I'm going to need this and I'm going to need that, I'm going to need the other thing, and then I'll go when I feel ready. That's not what God is looking for. We do our best work, I think, when we respond in the present, as Isaiah responded, as the apostles responded on the day of Pentecost, and as Francis and his companions responded. So what God is looking for is not, okay, but I'm going to need this, and I'm going to need this, I'm going to need this, and I'll go when I feel ready. No, the response God is looking for from us is, okay, you're the boss, here I am, send me.
So we turn to prayer. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ who face hardship and persecution every day. Guard them and keep them, we pray, and give your people the blessing of peace. Everlasting God, hear our prayer. We pray for the troubled nations of the world and for men, women, and children whose lives are threatened by war and political unrest. by poverty and injustice, by famine and natural disaster. Everlasting God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and those who care for them, in hospitals and care homes and in the community. And this morning we lift to you, especially those who have asked for our prayers, for Pam, Jacques, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Dennis, Roy, Christine, Prissy, Mike, Aileen, and others known to us. May they know your presence and your great love. Everlasting God,
hear our prayer.
We remember with thanksgiving all whom we love but see no longer, and those who have died recently. Especially this morning, we pray for the family and friends of Mavis Pope and Jean Woodley. We pray for their families and friends and ask your comfort and consolation for them and all who mourn. Everlasting God,
hear our prayer.
And the collect for the day. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, the Holy Trinity, make us strong in faith and love. Defend us on every side, and guide us in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen.
Well, it's been lovely to be with you this morning. We hope we might see some of you at the coffee morning. I'm off to Rackenford now. Robert is off to St. Peter's.
I am.
And we'll be here on Zoom and the conference call at the same time next week. And then I'm at Templeton, I think, and you will at St. Peter's next week if you want to join me at Templeton. Anyway, it's lovely to be with you, and we hope you have a really good bank holiday and enjoy the sunshine.
Oh yeah.
God bless.
We do.
Bye everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you find any of our rabbits in your garden, you send them home to us, okay?